Hi, this is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. We're in the School of Acts. We are in the documented harvest module. And, you know, I keep saying it, they're all my favorite, and this one is so unique, where we're going to look at every harvest, every time someone was born again, in the book of Acts. And as we get into this, you're going to quickly see that the book of Acts is a book of harvest. So let me open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this lesson, for what you're going to do in our lives. And Lord, that when we're through with this module, that there's going to be a greater capacity of prayer in this revelation of harvest. Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark 1:17, and Jesus said unto them, come after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Matthew 9, verse 37 and 38. Then said he to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. James 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. Now, these three scriptures are really important to understand the heartbeat of God. It's harvest. And I really love it when we looked at Mark 1, verse 17, Jesus said, come after me. He didn't say, go after the harvest. He said, you come after me. And in that pursuit of the Lord, he said, I will make you. To do what? To become fishers of men. So this is a promise that as you are pursuing the Lord to know him, to walk after him in honesty, in holiness, there's a development in your spirit to become a fisher of men, meaning you have a burden for souls. And the more discipleship, the more you come into that realization that there is a harvest and it has to come in and you have to become a part of it. And then he also says in Matthew 9:37, he says, listen, the harvest is, it's very vast. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to, what, pray to me to send out laborers into the harvest. So follow me, pray to me. And these are the two keys to fulfilling and bringing in the harvest of the nations. Now, let's go to the preface. When Jesus stepped into Peter's boat and requested him to push out from the shore, Peter had no idea that he was embarking into his destiny. As Jesus finished teaching the multitudes, he turned to Peter and commanded him to thrust out into deeper water. Peter, who had been fishing all night, he was tired. But in his tiredness, he couldn't deny the fire that was burning in his heart as Jesus was teaching. He had never heard words like these. With holy fire burning in Peter's heart, he obeyed, thrust the boat out further. Now in deeper water, Jesus spoke again, bringing new conflict between Peter's natural intellect and the burning sensation in his heart. With eyes full of love for this headstrong fisherman, Jesus commanded, throw out your nets for a catch. With natural tiredness from fishing all night, mixed with the reality of the foolishness of the request, Peter obeyed, stating, at your word, I will let down the net. Once the net was brought in, almost sinking the boat from the weight of the catch, Peter fell at Jesus' feet and repented, requesting Jesus to depart from him. Jesus then spoke new words to Peter. Fear not, from now on, you're going to catch men. These words not only charted the course of Peter's destiny, but the book of Acts as well. The book of Acts is a book of harvest, the harvest of all nations. And, you know, I think it's very important that as we get into this, I want you to think about Peter. His experience that day in the boat, the foolishness of what Jesus said to do, let down your nets. But he said, at your word, because it was the word of God that he was listening to. It was burning in his heart, and that word was producing such potential, such miracle. And that's what he was ready to launch into, miracles. And so he obeyed, and the power of God began to operate. And so it's very important on that first one that you're thinking, okay, Peter was charting the course through the power of the Holy Spirit into the book of Acts. Now let's go to number one, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. The Bible says about 3,000 souls. Acts 2:41. Then they gladly received his word, and they were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Jesus shocked his disciples one day when he declared that he was returning to his Father, and that the result of his returning to heaven would bring an empowerment upon them to do even greater works than he had done. The disciples had grown accustomed to hearing Jesus speak words they didn't understand. This was another such case, in that they had watched Jesus give sight to the blind, cause cripples to walk, and even raise the dead, regardless of how long they had been dead. Those two words, greater works, must have totally shocked them. But standing before the multitude on the day of Pentecost, Peter entered into a type of ministry that Jesus had never demonstrated during his time with them on the earth. As he preached to the multitude gathered, something new began to stir in their hearts. Finally, the crowd called out to Peter, "What must we do?" Peter proceeded to give the first altar call for men to be saved by faith in the name of Jesus. On the first day of the church, roughly 3,000 souls were born again. Peter had a front row seat in watching the power of the Holy Spirit change men from death to light, from darkness to light. As Peter stood there, he must have thought back to his first fishing experience with Jesus. From a boat sinking load of fish to now this, Jesus had done it again. Was Peter alone in this operation of harvest? No. As the power of God was poured out upon the church, there were three recorded gifts of the Holy Spirit manifested that affected this harvest of souls. How we need the gifts in operation. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are crucial to bringing in the harvest. Oh, I tell you, you know, I think when you kind of get quiet and think about this, put yourself in Peter's shoes. Here he is with 120 people, the power of God falls, and before you know it, thousands of people in Jerusalem are circling around your upper room where you're located, and you're so full of boldness, so full of the Holy Spirit. And these men cry out, "What must we do?" And, you know, Peter probably didn't know how to give an altar call, to be honest with you. He never had done one before. In fact, Jesus had never done an altar call for people to be born again. This is all new. And so there he is, he's standing, and as he's preaching, these people are calling out to Jesus, and he is watching the breath of God likened to when God made Adam at the beginning and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Here is Peter, through the preaching of the gospel, watching the breath of God come into the nostrils, into the spirits of 3,000 people. It truly was a greater work. Jesus was in heaven. He was orchestrating it. And Peter, James, and John, they were witnessing it on the earth. So powerful. Spend some time on that. So 3,000, that's our first harvest in the book of Acts. Oh, I tell you what, God kicked it off and it was big. Let's go to number two. The Lord added daily, Acts 2:47. The Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. Salvation is not a work of man, though we are commanded to preach the gospel. In our preaching, we are empowered to plant and to water, but the increase comes from the Lord. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, tells them that it is the Lord who sets the members in the church. As the apostles preached, the Lord confirmed his word with signs and wonders and miracles. Though no specific manifestation of the Holy Spirit is documented in this verse, we do know that God's power was flowing through the ministry of the apostles. Would this harvest have been the same without the gifts of the Holy Spirit in operation? So there we are again. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, the power of God was flowing, and you're seeing that now the Lord is working with them, and he is putting into the church on a daily basis those who should be saved. Powerful. You got to think about this. It's amazing. So that's why we're going through this. We're asking the Lord, increase my capacity for harvest. Number three, 5,000 men. We're going bigger now. Acts 4, verse 4. Many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Everyone who went to the temple most likely had seen this crippled man. This miracle performed at the temple, the very epicenter of Jewish worship, catapulted the church into the forefront of Jewish society through the demonstration of the name of Jesus. That day the Lord, by healing a crippled man, established his authority to forgive sin through faith in his name. Mark 2, verses 1 through 12. The effect of this healing saw over 5,000 people turn to the Lord. Oh, I tell you, the end result wasn't just the power of God manifested. God was looking at the hearts of people, and when that power was in demonstration, something was moved out of the way, as John the Baptist declared, making straight the way of the Lord. And that's what the power of God is for. It makes straight the way of the Lord. And 5,000 people gave their hearts to the Lord. Amazing. Are you getting edified yet? Are you getting hungry for evangelism? Let's go to number four. Multitudes of men and women. Acts 5, verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought amongst the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Verse 14. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. So it's not saying 3,000, it's not saying 5,000. Now it's kind of just saying multitudes. So we went from 3,000, then the Lord adding daily, and then we went to 5,000, and then now in number four, it's multitudes. The judgment upon Ananias and Sapphira brought a fear of the Lord upon all who heard the story. The multiple operations of the Holy Spirit in this judgment had a definite effect upon the people, both believers and non-believers. The church, without the fear of the Lord in their midst, is handicapped from certain aspects of the harvest. It is also clear that the apostles, through the laying on of their hands, they were actively working in the power of God. Such power and such harvest. And I tell you, it's just amazing to see how the power of God was affecting the multitudes. Let's go to number 5. Disciples greatly multiplied in Jerusalem. Acts 6, verse 7. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. Now, the Bible doesn't list a specific example of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in operation in this harvest. What we do understand is that when the church made necessary adjustments to how it was operating structurally, a corresponding flow of grace was released into the harvest. It would also be correct to link the effect of Stephen's miracles to this harvest. Even though this passage does not specifically reveal how long Stephen's ministry lasted before he died, in closing, it's necessary to note that how the church thinks and operates and prays affects the flow of the Holy Spirit outward into the harvest. And let me just add a little bit here. You need to take time with this in Acts chapter 6. Because the apostles knew they had to pray. They had to ministrate the word. That word that doesn't return void. But there were other needs that had to be taken care of. So you saw the introduction to deacons. All a deacon is the bishops of the church, the fivefold ministers, were in prayer and sitting before the word of God. And through that power of God in praying and ministrating the word, these deacons were the hands of these leaders outstretched to the needs of the particular body. And in it, miracles were flowing. And the multitudes of people were watching this. They were being impacted by it, and they were giving their lives to the Lord. So church structure and prayer is crucial to souls being saved. When a church is out of line, with the order is not correct, then the Holy Spirit concerning an outflow for souls to be saved gets hindered, actually gets dammed up. And so Paul said, I'm joyfully beholding your order, meaning there were things that were in line in the local church, and he was saying, I'm really glad that you have kept the order that we've established. Very important. Let's go on to number 6, Acts 6, verse 7. And let me just pause for a minute. The local church is a harvesting arm of the Lord. It always needs to be flowing in an evangelistic release. The local church cannot make people saved, but it has to preach anyways. The Holy Spirit adds to the church. The Holy Spirit, he's the one convicting. He's the one drawing. But the local church has to be in order. The local church has to be praying. The local church has to be preaching. Very, very important. Now let's go on. A great company of priests, Acts 6, verse 7. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Now we talked about the first part of this, the multitudes increasing. But now let's look at the priests. The adjustments made by the Jerusalem church by appointing Holy Spirit-filled deacons not only affected multitudes of people, but it also had a direct effect on the priesthood. When these priests witnessed ordinary men ministering in the power of God, and not just the apostles, it convinced them of the authority that is in the gospel of Christ. A new tier of miracle workers was a sign and a wonder, as well as a threat to the religious and pagan worlds of their day. This rock of revelation was moving in the earth, and it was breaking to pieces the idols of the Jewish religious culture. In closing, I would attribute this harvest to the fresh flow of God's power that came through structural adjustments by church leadership. The body of Christ is not just the pastor. In fact, the first century church was led by apostles and prophets, evangelists, and then you had pastors, and then you had teachers. And the pastor, in his natural inclination, is not looking outside the church. He's focused on caring for the sheep. And so in many times, these other responsibilities of the local church can be greatly neglected because the church is only under the operation of one of the ministries of the Lord. And without proper development of the ministry of the pastor, it's very likely that the church can be put into a spiritual corner, and then it's not bearing fruit. It actually becomes stagnant, and there's no real life because there's not obedience to the Great Commission. There's apostles, there's prophets, there's evangelists. Then there is the pastor and the teacher. So these are all important to the Lord. They're all important to the local church. Number 7, Samaria broken open by the power of God. Acts 8:12 and verse 14. And when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. The Lord was working with Philip, confirming the word he preached with signs and wonders. The signs manifested God's sovereign presence, and the wonders demanded Samaria's attention. These signs and wonders done by Philip were called miracles in a general sense. In a more specific understanding, we know that the gifts of healings were in operation because of the various illnesses that were cured. God had captured their attention. He was reaffirming his great love for them through the preaching of the gospel. The result was another boat sinking load of fish of the humankind. Number 8. Simon the sorcerer. And Simon himself believed also when he was baptized. He continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Note, there is nothing like the power of God in manifestation. Though Pharaoh's magicians performed magic, it was the power of God in Moses' staff that devoured any competing demonstration of miracles before the Pharaoh king that day. In this example, Simon was getting a taste of real holy power, and it caused him to believe. And so let's pause there until the next session. But there's a lot to go over, because what you're seeing here is a church in prayer, a church in the power of God, and multitudes are being saved. And I think one of the key phrases, the Lord added daily, meaning he was involved. He was right there with them. He's in heaven working through the power of the Holy Spirit, but he's very much involved. And so now go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. There's more information there. And get ready for this next session, because we're going to keep talking about harvest. Listen, until next time, we love you. God bless you. Bye-bye.